Pastor, author, and Bible teacher, Alan Wright.
The Promised Land might be a battleground, but beloved, it's the place where you walk day by day in victory with Jesus.
That's Pastor Alan Wright. Welcome to another message of good news that will help you see your life in a whole new light. I'm Daniel Britt, excited for you to hear the teaching today in the series called Unleashed, as presented at Renolda Church in North Carolina. If you're not able to stay with us throughout the entire program today, I want to make sure you know how to get our special resource right now. You can find out more about it and even receive a copy of your very own for your donation this month to Alan Wright Ministries. So as you listen to today's message, go deeper as we send you today's special offer at pastoralan.org. Find out more about it and make your request, or call 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860. Again, our website, pastoralan.org. More on this later in the program. But now, let's get started with today's teaching. Here is Alan Wright.
He is a man whose life has been shaped by Moses. He is a man who could always look to Moses for that sense of security and comfort and consolation and well-being. It's that feeling you got like a strong dad that you could just look to, and if there are problems, you go, yeah, but dad's here. It was that feeling. And so it's so odd how God comes to Joshua to motivate him at the beginning of this speech that God has to Moses at Joshua chapter 1. Because, read it again at verse 1, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, here's the first words of the Lord to Joshua. Moses, my servant, is dead. Thank you very much. As if the whole nation of Israel was not already grieving. As if Joshua didn't know. I'm sure Joshua had to kind of fight off the feeling of like, well, duh, you know. We're all grieving. I feel like my life is over. Everything I've ever counted on is now changing. And what in the world is God saying? He comes and says, Moses is dead. It's like God had come to him and said, you know, Joshua, let me just tell you, Moses was wonderful. Moses was my man. Moses came to Mount Sinai. Moses got the law. Moses was radiant with my glory. Moses has been meeting with me at the tent of meeting. Moses has worked miracles in my name. Moses had that staff. Moses parted the sea. Moses was a great judge amongst the people. Moses was a man like no other man. Moses was more humble than anybody that had ever been. Moses is fantastic, and Moses is dead. And it's like he's saying, Moses is dead, Joshua, but you aren't. He was announcing a transition. He was saying, now you're the man. Sometimes the greatest grace comes into your life when what you've always counted on for your earthly sense of security is gone. And now what you've got to count on is God. Freedom often comes when you have a transition, a time in your life where you have to let go of what you always counted on. Here's the second thing I see from this image of Egypt, wilderness, promised land, that helps me understand what freedom really is. And that is to say that freedom is not an escape from the fight. Freedom is the power to fight. And we're speaking spiritually. See, when the people finally cross over the Jordan under Joshua's leadership, they don't arrive in a land that's flowing with milk and honey, meaning that they stretch out on their hammocks and sip from coconuts from little straws the rest of their life. Instead, what happens is they come in and they first face Jericho. Archaeological digs have shown us the size of the stone foundation of the walls around Jericho. It was an impenetrable city. And the first thing they had to do was to trust God for a miracle as they took Jericho. But they would fight battle after battle at Ai, Gibeon, Makkedah, southern Canaan, the battles of northern Canaan, Canaanite king after Canaanite king. And even when Joshua was old, the text says he was old and advanced in years, and the Lord said to them, there remains yet very much land to possess. They were moving on. It was a process wherein they already had the land, but they didn't possess all of it. And they were fighting battle after battle. In other words, so often as Christians, I think we have this wilderness image in our mind as the place of struggle. You know, like we might say, well, how you doing, brother? And we say, well, you know, I'm going through some really difficult things right now, and it just, I feel like I'm in a wilderness now, but I'm sure I'm going to get out of this, you know. But what this does, this imagery, it changes my whole thinking about this. Because what it means is that your promised land is your battleground. And if you're going through something challenging, and if you're facing a big spiritual fight, or if you go through something that stretches you, you're not in a wilderness. You're probably right smack dab in the middle where God wants you. Because the promised land's not a place of ease. It's a place of spiritual battle. And the people of God, once they accept this, are able to move into it knowing that they're not fighting in order to be free. They're fighting because they are free. And when you can no longer fight spiritually, it's evidence you're not free. So when you're in the fight, you're free. Here's the third thing I see. Freedom, according to this picture of Egypt, wilderness, promised land, freedom is not something that you mainly just arrive into. It is a process that you grow into step by step. And I take this from this beautiful word of the Lord at verse 3, chapter 1 of Joshua. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I've given to you, just as I promised to Moses. Every place you take your foot, I've already given it to you, but you are going to be an active, appropriating participant of receiving the gifts step by step. That you're going to experience new levels of freedom as you risk taking the next step. Isn't it a wonderful thing to know that your freedom in the Lord is something that grows in its expansiveness the more you grow in the grace of God?
That's Alan Wright. We'll have more teaching in a moment from today's important series.
This is what the Lord says. I will restore the fortunes of Jacob's tents and have compassion on his dwellings. The city will be rebuilt on her ruins, and the palace will stand in its proper place. Those timeless words from Jeremiah 30 reveal the heart of God. He loves to restore. In ancient times, cities would often be rebuilt on top of the ruins of the former city. The new city would stand higher with safer walls and a greater perspective. In Pastor Alan Wright's 8-message CD album, Out of the Ruins, you'll discover how God can rebuild your life gloriously out of yesterday's disappointments. When you make your gift to Alan Wright Ministries today, we'll send you Pastor Alan's messages in an attractive CD album or through digital download as our way of saying thanks for your partnership. Call us at 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860. Or come to our website, PastorAllen.org.
Today's teaching now continues. Here once again is Alan Wright.
It's a whole land that was given to them by the grace of God, not by their own merit and not by their own power. And what God was saying is there's going to be battle after battle, and you're going to take step after step, and you're going to find out that just when you think you've arrived, that there's even further to go, and it's going to make your life an adventure, Because what you're going to see is the freedom that you taste is going to lead you to another step so that you are going to be more than conquerors. And this is a picture of the spiritual life. Freedom for us in Christ is not simply the lifting of yesterday's pain, though that it is. It's not simply getting out of the bondage in Egypt, though that it is. But real freedom in Christ is the courage to face a future that is full of challenge and uncertainties, and yet laden with promise. It is a life that is lived by all the promises of God that find their yes and amen in Jesus Christ. It means that freedom is something that is expressed in you and through you step by step. And here's a fourth thing. What I see in the picture of the people of God who move out of Egypt into a wilderness and are called into a promised land, in this picture of the promised land where there is much to do, is that freedom is not the absence of responsibility, but it is the embrace of responsibility. The word responsibility is a great word. It means the ability to respond. If you have an ability to respond, you're free. I can respond to this. See, what the slaves couldn't do is they couldn't respond to their situation. But we have an ability to respond because we're free. Listen, responsibility is not a curse. It is a gift from the Lord. When you have not had a responsibility that you would like to have, then you know what this would feel like. I'm so thankful that in our economy now that we have so many more people that have work. But there have been times where I've seen people, dear ones in this church, some of the smartest, brightest, most effective people of variety of vocations but were downsized and didn't have work. People a year and a half, 2 years, no work. And unless you've gone through some period of time like that, you can't really know what a privilege it is to have to get up and go to work. You know, I mean, we're all a little bit like, listen, sometimes we just want a break, right? You know, we got all these kids running around here. I wish, Lord, I could just have a little break, right? And a break's good, you know. But all these little kids running around and are wearing us out, you know, that. Those responsibilities are your privileges, aren't they? That job that can take its toll on you, and you know it can be ongoing. It's your privilege. The times that we all go through, and which is a part of it, that just I wish I just didn't have all this responsibility. And then I stop and I just remember that the promised land is a place of responsibility. We're stewards of precious responsibilities. In other words, what I'm saying is that your responsibilities aren't curses, they're blessings. And God-given responsibilities are your privileges. What you see in the promised land is that people do what their predecessors didn't do. They take ownership of what God had given to them. That's, you know, we say take ownership. And we wonder, what do we mean by that? It just means that you have a sense that it's yours, and therefore that shapes how you interact. It shapes what you do with your life when you take ownership, right? God's given you precious things, beloved. He's given you, in the first place, He's given you your life. Did you make yourself? Did you form yourself in your mother's womb? Did you envision your own life and design it and put the DNA into it? Of course not. Your life is a gift to you. And when you see it as a gift and you live by promise, you take ownership of it. God has given many precious things in your future to you. And you take ownership of it. That's what promised land living is. This is our territory according to the word of God. And I will take ownership of it. I remember years ago, my former beloved associate Jim Glasgow and I were at an out-of-town funeral attending to minister to one of our own bereaved. And after the service at this rural small church, I can't remember what town we were in, we got back in the car to leave. And I heard Jim chuckle. I said, "What?" He said, "You see that old man over there?" I said, "Yeah." And I looked. This man, all dressed up in his suit on this 90-degree summer day, and he looked like he was 95. I mean, he was this amazing old saint, still, you know. And I said, "Yeah, what about him?" He said, "That old guy over there, he just bent down, kind of slowly, bent down and picked up a small piece of trash that was next to a bush near the front door of the church. He said, that guy must be the patriarch of this church." What he was saying was, I never forgot what he was saying, this man is like, this is my church. I've taken ownership. You know, it's like, I might not pick up a piece of trash in your yard, but I pick up in mine because I own it. And what happens in your life when you have a sense of ownership as you're an heir is you don't have to start thinking about, oh, this is a duty, oh, I need to do this. It's just like, I'm an heir, and I just take some ownership. And when I tell you what happened, is the more that you grow spiritually, the more that expansive that you see the grace of God, you start taking a larger and larger sense of ownership. So at some point, you come to this place and you say, church, people of God, he's given us ownership in the world. And so we have to tell the whole world of the gospel and take dominion for Christ in his precious name. In other words, the picture of freedom in the Bible is not a movement from slavery to not slavery. That's not the picture. The picture is a move from slavery to being heirs. You, Paul said, did not receive a spirit of fear to lead you back into slavery, but a spirit of sonship by which you cry, Abba, Father. Let me tell you something that I just love about the whole narrative of Joshua and watching Joshua, General Joshua, take them into the promised land is the whole time I read it, I know this. That name Joshua is probably the most beautiful name in the world. Because did you know that the name Jesus, Jesus, transliterated Jesus, is a Greek version? That's not his actual name. He was a Jewish boy born to peasants in Nazareth. And he was told by the angel, you shall give him the name Yeshua. His name, Savior of the world, his name is Joshua. He is Yeshua HaMashiach. He is Joshua the Messiah. That's who Jesus is. So you can't miss this one. I mean, you sometimes wonder, how do I find Jesus in this story in the Old Testament? This one you can't miss. This is General Joshua, and he's taking the people in the promised land. And this is what it means to be in Christ. This means that General Joshua takes you in the promised land. In scene one, he's the Passover lamb, but now we're in scene two. We're in the next moment. This is Joshua taking us in. Jesus is the conqueror. And what he is he's the one who spied out the land. And he saw the sweet fruit. And he is the one who, like no one else, believed all the promises of God and trusted God perfectly. He is the one through whom the word has been expressed perfectly. He is the word of God. And when you accept Christ, what happens is a mystical, powerful miracle wherein you are engrafted into Christ. Your life is now found in Christ. Your life is not measured anymore by your own merits, but by the merits of Christ. Your life is no longer hinging upon whether you can do it. It's hinging upon whether Christ can do it. Your future is no longer dependent upon your capacity to be able to make the way, but instead it is hinging upon the fact that Christ has already made the impossible way, a way that's open to you. This is the picture of life in Jesus, abundant life and of freedom. And this goes far to explain why Jesus said, those whom the Son sets free will be free indeed. It is, what I'm saying, a move not just from slavery's bonds to a wilderness where you wander around. It's a move from the rules of Egypt, for which you're punished if you fail, to a relationship with Joshua the Messiah. Freedom is in a relationship with Jesus. I read in this morning's paper a cute story in an article about Will Franklin Graham. Will Graham, who's doing some preaching himself, the grandson of Billy Graham. And the article was there because he has a part in a movie that's coming out. And he said, I'm going to stick to preaching, not to acting. But a cute story. He said he remembered when he was, I think, 9 or 10. They had traveled to, I think they were in California, and Billy Graham had a big meeting going on. And there was a time where Billy Graham was greeting people, and there was a massive long line to speak to him. And grandson Will went up to go hug his granddaddy, and a police officer stopped him and said, son, you got to go to the back of the line. It was about a two-hour wait. And so as Will was being halted by the police officer and he just looked around to see Billy Graham, his grandfather, suddenly Billy Graham, he said, dropped down. His granddaddy dropped down on one knee and just said, Will! And all of a sudden, the police officer's backed out of the way, and Will goes running into his grandfather's arms. That's what you do when you're a son or a daughter. That's what you do when you're an heir. That's what you do when you're free in Christ. The promised land might be a battleground, but beloved, it's the place where you walk day by day in victory with Jesus. And that's the gospel.
Alan Wright and today's teaching. Freedom through taking the promised land. It's in our series Unleashed, and Alan is back with us in the studio sharing a parting good news thought for the day in just a moment.
This is what the Lord says. I will restore the fortunes of Jacob's tents and have compassion on his dwellings. The city will be rebuilt on her ruins, and the palace will stand in its proper place. Those timeless words from Jeremiah 30 reveal the heart of God. He loves to restore. In ancient times, cities would often be rebuilt on top of the ruins of the former city. The new city would stand higher, with safer walls and a greater perspective. In Pastor Alan Wright's 8-message CD album, Out of the Ruins, you'll discover how God can rebuild your life gloriously out of yesterday's disappointments. When you make your gift to Alan Wright Ministries today, we'll send you Pastor Alan's messages in an attractive CD album or through digital download as our way of saying thanks for your partnership. Call us at 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860. Or come to our website, pastoralan.org. Unlock the power of blessing your life. Discover God's grace-filled vision for your life by signing up for Alan Wright's free daily blessing. If you want to fill your heart with grace and encouragement, get Alan Wright's daily blessing. It's free and just a click away at pastoralan.org.
Alan, back here in the studio with our parting good news thought for the day. So freedom through taking the promised land, we got to get this straight, right? We got to be real about it. Freedom, but there will still be battle. So we're putting this together in this concluding message here.
So two takeaways. I want to make sure every listener, you hear this, that one, just because you're facing a battle doesn't mean you're not in your promised land. It doesn't mean you're not in the will of God. You might be square in the will of God and facing some very difficult things right now. And secondly, to really know this, that because life in the kingdom is like the promised land, there is always a moving forward. And you have a promised land in front of you. And don't let any voice of the enemy discourage you to otherwise. Just because you're facing difficulties doesn't mean that God has not provided a way for you to advance. Take the next step and count on it. Where God calls you, He provides not only the energy, grace to take that step, but every place you step your foot, He's given to you. That's the gospel.
Today's Good News message is a listener-supported production of Alan Wright Ministries.